Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kane from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
In these people's heart when he came, that if I ask them for money, it's going to leave a bad mark on me. They're going to say one day, he was just after your money. But you know what? These false apostles that came through, they couldn't say that about Paul. Because if they made that statement, he was just after your money, they would say, that's interesting. He never took a dime from us, you know? We never gave him anything. He never asked us for anything. Yeah, so that's one accusation that could never be pointed at him. So the Lord guarded Paul from that one. And you know what? We are wise to take that one into account. Because if someone today would try to say something against our ministry here, I don't take a salary from the church. Praise the Lord at this point. I don't take anything like that. You know, I get the church does provide for me if I go to a conference somewhere. They take care of the conference and things like that, but I don't take that salary. So if anyone here would try to raise that accusation to destroy our work, you know, I'd just say, prove that one. You know, where's my paycheck? I haven't seen that, see? And I praise the Lord for that. The Lord has provided for us at the moment, so we don't have to do that. And again, there's great wisdom in what Paul's doing. He's saying, you can't point that one because I didn't charge you anything. Was that wrong with me not to charge you? Was that a sin that I gave it to you freely? And of course, that's tongue-in-cheek because these guys are taking as big an offering as they can get from these people. You know, and that really disturbs me because I see those ministries I mentioned to you before on TV that they actually make the statement, even if you don't have it right now, still write that check. Still put that check out there in faith, you know. I'm thinking, man, you're really hitting people who are poor, who do not have it, and you're going to take their money too. Wow, what a tragedy. What a sin. What a sin to do that. He goes on here in verse 8 back in 2 Corinthians 11. I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. When I was with you and I needed something, I was not a burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. So here's a question we can answer here. When we have to defend ourselves, as Paul is defending ourselves, we might say, well, so when do I do that? When do I need to defend myself? And it's when we care about the people that might be hurt if we don't tell them the truth. Because see what Paul is saying here, he's not making up any stories. He's not making himself look great. He's telling you the factual stuff that really happened to him. And he's only doing that, he said, because he loves them. And he knows, see, he's not worried about them saying, yeah, Paul was a great guy. He's not worried about that. What he's concerned about is if they don't listen to Paul, they're not going to hear the pure truth that he's trying to get to them. And that's the concern. Paul knows that I've given you the truth of God. I want you to build your lives on that. I want you to grow on that. And if you discredit Paul, you've discredited his message. And that's the reason he's doing it. Because he loves them and he wants them to stay on the truth. He doesn't want them to eat all the junk that's out there and be defiled so they're not that pure virgin that's being offered to Christ on the day of his return. He goes on then in verse 12. He says, and I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things that they boast about. And I think Paul was saying here, why don't you stop giving those false teachers money and see how long they stick around? Stop sending them your offerings and see how long they hang in there with you. You know, because the thing is, they're there for the money. That's what they're there for. So he's given us things. He says, man, if they want to boast about this, and you know, it disturbs me because, you know, I hear this stuff on TV, and I know you've heard some of this too. And not all TV preachers. I'm not trying to broad brush them all here, but some of those guys are out there pushing their prosperity, you know, and they're telling you about their jets and all this stuff they own. And God's blessed me so much. Well, the money he's, quote, blessed you with is money you've taken from all these people, you know. That isn't God's blessing. That's your stealing that's going on. So it bothers me to hear these people flaunt that prosperity and then say, you know, if you have faith, God's going to bless you too, just like he's blessed me. Well, nobody's being blessed like that because they're taking everybody's money, you know. It's just sad. It really disturbs me. And they boast about that stuff, you know. Go on to verse 13. For such men, and notice Paul here, he's not candy coating this at all. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And he says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Now, man, Paul really sliced this one straight. He has just told them, these false teachers you've allowed in your church and you've been listening to and taking in their goofy doctrine and giving them your money and all this stuff, he said, those guys are servants of Satan. Wow, that's scary stuff. You know, and here's some things I've noticed for, just from our passage you looked at, some things that will mark a false teacher for us, okay? They're after your money, and they don't mind being a burden to you in order to get it either. Because he said here, I was not a burden to you at all. I even had a need. I didn't tell you I had needs. So they don't even mind being a burden. You know, they'll lay that out there if that's what it takes to get more money out of you. Another thing I notice here, they lift themselves up, you know. He said that, Paul says, I've humbled myself before you. I know it's about Christ. It's not about me. But these guys have boasted, you know, they've lifted themselves up. It's look at me. Look what God is doing in my life kind of a thing, you know. And they've really tried to make themselves look super spiritual. As he said, they are these super apostles, you know. So be wary of these people who come across as making themselves super spiritual. And I've heard some of the folks, they'll say, you know, I was just doing this the other day, and God started talking to me, you know. And they say it in a special air, in a special tone, that, yeah, God talks to me like that all the time, you know. He comes down and does this and that, you know. And, you know, what I have found, the Lord will speak to our heart at times, but guess what? It's usually when someone else has a need, you know? It's not just a, yes, the Lord's going to talk to me and we have our deep conversations and all this stuff. No, I don't need to hear you flaunt how close you are to God in front of me. Let me see it by your life and service. We sang that song today, you know, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, what do? You become the servant of all. You know, when Jesus said that to the disciples, I just heard somebody talking about that this week. When Jesus said, the greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant of all. Who is he talking about? Himself. Jesus was that servant of all. So guess what? If you want to be great, you're going to have to be like Jesus. And that means you're going to have to be a servant also. Servant of all. Okay? As many people as we can. So it's not the super spiritual. That's a bad sign. When someone comes across to tell you how spiritual they are, you have to be wary. Another thing we notice here, they don't really love you, or they wouldn't take advantage of you the way they do. You know, I'm sorry, but you can't tell me this guy on the TV ministry program here really loves you when he says, I want you to write that check. Even if you don't have the money, write that check, you know. Because when that check bounces, you know, and it comes back on you and you got to pay that fee for that, I don't think you're going to call him and say, man, I tried to love you and send my offering. Can you help me out here? No, click is what you might hear on that one, you know. I don't think they're going to go out of their way because it's not about you. It's about them. And also I noticed they will get what they deserve. And this is important for us to notice. And it says because they're servants of Satan, that last statement of verse 15, their end will be what their actions deserve. They're not getting away with any of it. Okay? I tell you what, the Lord gives us some strong warnings here on these false teachers that came into the church there. And sadly, we still have people doing the same kind of stuff in the churches today. And we need to be very careful of that. Okay? Let me balance something out I threw out there. I think I need to tell you this, that, you know, I mentioned that I'm not taking a salary at this point, but there's nothing wrong with taking a salary. The Lord provides your needs to the ministry that you're doing. The Lord tells us in His Word that's okay. The worker is worthy of his hire, you know, so there's not a problem with that. Let me put a balance out there. I don't want everybody to say, man, our preacher did this and he was sinning because he'd had his salary. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying if it's possible, don't take that money, you know, just to have it to say, I've got a big wealth from this or anything like that. You understand? So there's a balance there. And I just want to put that out there. All right? The Lord does provide our needs, and we trust the Lord for however He does that. Like I mentioned before, the day will come, Lord willing, that I will have to have more time to put in the ministry and won't be able to work as much outside the ministry to do that. Okay? So at the point where it looks like we're working on that a little bit right now. So that day may come. All right? All right, in verse 16, as we go on in our passage, I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I'm not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. And he's kind of really tongue-in-cheek here, saying, you know what? If you need me to be a fool to talk to you, then I'll be that fool, you know? And he said, you seem to like fools. You let these foolish, false teachers come in and tell you stuff. And if that's what you want, he said, for me to reach you, I'll go there, if that's what I need to do in order to get a hold of you, okay? And what he said at the end, at verse 19 there, he says, since you are so wise, these people thought they were so smart. I mean, when you read the things that were told about the Corinthian church, they were a wealthy church. They had a lot of money. And I'm sure they thought they were highly intellectual, a very gifted church, a lot of gifts going on. So I'm sure they thought they were just at the top of the game, you know. And Paul says, man, you guys are so wise. I guess you wouldn't mind one more fool stepping in the crowd here and talking to you that way, you know. So it's kind of sad that he has to say something like this, but he's really trying to get their attention to show them how foolish this looks. You know, now what's interesting to me is they seem to be impressed by fools. That's what he was saying, like these false teachers. So he's saying, let me act like one of them if that's what it takes. Now here's a question we ask ourselves, and this is another place to check ourselves. Okay, what impresses you? What impresses me? Is it the person? Is it the aura that they have around them? You know, is it their flamboyant style? Is it their great eloquence of words? Or is it the power of the Word of God that impresses us? And that's a great question for us to ask. Is it the power of the Word of God? Is that enough for you? You know, or do you have to have something more than that? And you notice here, we try to keep things humble and low because I want you to focus on the Word. I don't want you to focus on anything else. You know, I want you to see God in His holy Word. And you know, some folks they don't like that as much. They want a little more. We had a person one time come and ask me, you know, when are you going to get the church more structured? And I thought, what do you mean by that? Because this is as structured as I'm going to get. You know, I don't want to be churchy. That's not my goal. I want to be simple, down to earth, where people can take in the Word of God without any pretensions of us looking fancy and you got to get fancy if you want to be there or anything like that. We're trying to keep it as low as we can so that the Word of God can easily go in, that there's no barriers there. Okay, so we ask the question, what do I need to be impressed? I hope it's just the Word of God. I hope it doesn't matter who's given the Word of God, it's just the Word of God. That's what we want. Okay, let's go on further then. He says in verse 20, in fact, he says, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you, or exalts himself, and pushes himself forward, or who slaps you in the face. And you know what's interesting? The rabbis used to do that in the old Jewish tradition when they were teaching people, and they get pretty wound up. You know, the people in the audience will ask questions, and it gets pretty wound up as the whole thing goes on. And if the rabbi thought you're a student and he's teaching, you're not getting it, he'll slap you just to kind of like wake up. You know, we get this saying where you got to hit somebody across the head with a 2x4 to get their attention. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes back to that method of teaching they use. They would do that kind of stuff. So imagine these people were allowing these, and we'll find out these guys were Jewish people that were coming in, these false teachers. They were coming in and allowing that to happen. And Paul goes on to say, to my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. He's kind of sarcastic, saying, I didn't slap you guys upside the head to tell you something, you know. I just trusted God's word to go in. I didn't beat on you like that. And he's saying, you're allowing this stuff? These false teachers come in and you let them do all kinds of stuff to you. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this one guy. This is going on today in our world. I was shocked to hear this one. There's a guy out there, and his last name's Bentley. I don't know his first name. I keep messing up his first name. But he has a healing ministry out in California, of course. And this ministry has people come up, and a lot of folks show up for these things. And if you come up and say you've got a stomach ache, you've got some problem with your stomach, he will punch you in your stomach to heal you. He will kick you and all kinds of wild stuff. He punch him in the face, you know. And people are coming saying, this guy's our healer, you know, and all this. And I'm thinking, read your word, you know, get in the word of God and read what God tells you. And they had this, you know, there were some guys, when Stephen was out there in California, some of the evangelistic guys from the group he was with, they went to do some preaching the gospel at one of these big crusades this guy has out there. And they thought, you know, he's going to have a crowd. So we'll just show up and we'll preach on the outside, you know, and try to let people know about Jesus while he's in there doing his crazy stuff. Maybe somebody will get saved, you know. So these guys are out there preaching. They had somebody come from his group who came out there and tried to deliver a demon out of this guy that was preaching the gospel. I mean, that's how wild this stuff is. And they had two ladies, I was told, that got down on their knees in front of this guy that was preaching the gospel, and they were praying for God to silence him. I'm thinking, whoa, whose team are you on? Whose side are you on? You know? But I tell you that because this crazy stuff is still going on in the body of Christ today, this kind of stuff. So when you read what Paul says here, do you think, oh, nobody would come and let you slap in the face? Oh, yes. There are folks today who still allow that kind of stuff. And it just blows me away. So let me ask you, do we need the whole teaching of the Word of God? Absolutely. Because a lot of times people don't stop to read this chapter. I mean, when you start to look at it, you're thinking, oh, this is just another story of Paul talking about himself, and we're going to go past that, you know. What an important lesson that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on the Word of God. Let's go on. And he goes on to say, what anyone else dares to boast about, he says, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. And you can imagine these false teachers coming in with these labels for themselves. You know, I'm the Jewish nation. I am one of God's chosen people. My forefathers walked with God and all this kind of stuff. So he said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Okay, so the false teachers were bragging about their Jewish heritage, and Paul said, if that's what you need, hey, I'm a Jew too, okay, if that's what you need to hear. He says, are they servants of Christ? He says, I'm out of my mind to talk like this. He says, I am more of a servant of Christ than they are, and he's going to define for us what he means by that. Now, notice as we look at these things, Paul's telling us about some things he went through in ministry that we would never know about except for this passage right here, where Paul explains some of these things in pretty much detail. And imagine yourself in the shoes of Paul, okay? He says, as a servant of Christ, here's what happened. He said, I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more frequently. I have been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. And he's going to tell us about some of those episodes. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. And those were such severe beatings that, you know, they said it was the 40 minus one because the saying was 40 would kill you. So we're going to take you to 39 because we don't want you to die. We just want you to really suffer and feel the closeness to death. So 5 times he took that kind of beating. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers. And that's the idea of the rivers that were too high and it's dangerous to go across. But he had to face that stuff because he needed to get to the next place to preach. In danger from bandits. In danger from my own countrymen, the Jews. In danger from Gentiles, those not of my countrymen. In danger in the city. In danger in the country. In danger at sea. So where could Paul go without fear of things happening? Nowhere. He said, in the city, in the country, out in the wilderness, out in the sea. Didn't matter. He got in trouble everywhere, okay? He goes on to say, and in danger from false brothers. Now, think of that, what Paul had gone through. And you know what? Well, there's something interesting I was going to mention here, that when Paul wrote this letter, it was about at the point of Acts chapter 19, if you read through the book of Acts. And what's interesting is these things he just listed here, we only have about 3 of those mentioned in the book of Acts. So it tells us Paul went through a whole lot of stuff that's not even recorded for us in the book of Acts. Now, you look at this guy and you say, man, what a guy. What a guy. What love for the Lord that he put up with all these things and knowing that the next town, you know, somebody, I think it was Joel when he was here, was kidding about the jail. The next town was kind of like Paul's Super 8 motel, you know, because he knew he was probably going to spend time in there when he went in there and got beat up for preaching the gospel. You know, yeah, I thought, What a man to go through all the things he did. And you look at our own life, I don't know about you, I haven't done that much. I haven't gotten close to any of these. I haven't seen the inside of a prison yet because of Jesus. That day might happen in our society the way it's going, but as of yet, I haven't seen that. I haven't faced half of the danger he did, you know. So when Paul tells us these things and you look at his life, you think, wow, what a guy. Who's going to compare themselves to that? Not one of these false teachers, I'm sure, came close. They probably came in and said, you know what, guys? We were at that other church and they didn't like the way we dressed. Man, we weren't dressed good enough for them. And man, they persecuted us. That's about all he probably came up with, you know. And Paul says, if you want to talk about suffering, I can tell you about that. So he lays this out for us. We really see Paul's heart. What a model for us. What are we willing to put up with for Jesus? Verse 27, he says, I have labored and toiled, have gone often without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, he said, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. And he says, who is weak? And he's talking about the churches here, and I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? Talking about a church going astray or allowing sin in their fellowship. And he said, and I do not inwardly burn. And he's saying, you know, on top of all the stuff I suffered physically myself, I also have the inner pains, the inner suffering of knowing that the churches I started, they go through times of weakness, and it troubles me that they're struggling with their faith. And there are times that they go through, you know, false teaching coming in, and they're starting to go astray. And he says, I've got all that burden to carry also. And his point is, you know what, I care about those people in the churches. These guys don't care. They just want your money. They don't care. They don't mind what doctrine you want to take in. So, you know, we might get criticized sometime because we'll come against the false teaching that's out there and they'll say, you guys are awful critical. No, we love you. We want you to stay on the truth. We don't want you to get sidetracked on so much junk that's out there, you know. Goes on to verse 30. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. He's going to talk about that more in the next chapter. Lord willing, we'll see more of that next time. He says, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. So Paul is saying he's been giving the facts, not stories, but true facts. And I love this verse we just looked at here because he says, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever. You know what? As these false teachers are going around and boasting, they were praising themselves. And Paul's point is, there's only one person who deserves praise. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? That's the one who deserves praise. Yeah, there's a good message that Josh has been telling me about for some time and said, you know, it's on the internet. You can find this and listen to it. It's a real powerful, life-changing message. And I finally got a chance to hear it this week. And a man, it is. It's called 10 Shekels and a Shirt. And I believe it's public domain. We might try to get some of those copies here for people to get and listen to if you'd like to, if you can't find it on the internet. But it was so powerful because the guy was talking about how we let things creep into the church and we lose the focus we should have and we water down things without even realizing it. And he said, you know what? When we talk to people about Jesus and we try to win people to Christ, he said, if we say I'm doing that for them, I'm trying to help them so they don't go to hell. He said, that's not the right motivation. Or if I'm doing it on a positive note, I want to see him in heaven. He said, that's not the right motivation either. The right motivation is Jesus deserves that person. He died for them. He paid for them. He owns them. His blood was shed for them. He deserves the honor and the praise and the worship. That's the reason for leading someone to Christ, because they belong to Jesus. We do it for our love for Jesus. You know, we love people, sure. But the real focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who is worthy. And I tell you what, it's an extremely powerful message. Like I said, we'll try to get copies for you because Paul understood that. You see by this statement here, the God and Father, the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever. And you know what? That's what's going to happen in eternity. We're going to be praising the Lord forever. And we should start now. We shouldn't wait till we get there. He goes on in verse 32. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. And there's another story where Paul said he escaped with his life by them doing something as goofy as putting him in a basket and lowering him out the window. And he said that's the kind of life he's lived. I don't think these super apostles would have anything to say. They might say, yeah, we got a little dust on us one time. We walked out the door and there was a windstorm and we got dust on our clothes, or something like that. And that was their suffering. So Paul comes out and he says these things to defend himself, as he told us, because he loves these people. He wants them to stay on the truth. And you know what? That should be the goal of all of us, that we want our loved ones to stay on the truth. So when you defend yourself, when you have to because of the people you love, all right? And that's what the Lord teaches us from this lesson. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the day that you told us the truth about your son Jesus, that you were willing to send him to this world to die for our sins and to take all of our ugly sins upon himself and to pay for those on the cross all alone. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that great sacrifice. And we thank you that he didn't remain on the cross, Lord, but that you raised him to life again. And he is our risen Savior and Lord. And we look forward to the day we'll be with you. Lord, we pray now as we're in this world that you give us the boldness and the love for people, that we would want to see them to stay on truth for you and for your glory. And Father, again, we thank you for the people that had seeds planted this week at the fair. We pray that you continue to draw them to yourself, that your son Jesus might be glorified. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will